Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Back at it again. It's another edition of the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Extended version. That's right, extended version. We're starting it off at 8 a.m. this week, 8 to 10, 2 hours of power. I promise you it's going to be the fastest 2 hours of your life. Okay, Rick Saratella here for the Fantasy Football Insiders Show. We're going to welcome in the stars of the show in a minute, but a couple things I need to get off my chest. First off, we had a great college football podcast this past week, The Road to Pasadena. You can check that out on the Fantasy Sports Channel every Thursday. This week, Barry Alvarez dropped by, the AD over at Wisconsin. Boy, if you've seen what those Wisconsin boys have been doing, you know what I mean. Check out that Barry Alvarez interview. We also hope to have that isolated for you as well. Also, next week, 4 days from now, Thursday, we are doing our Thanksgiving special. That's right, Thanksgiving special, 8 to 10 a.m. on Thursday. We're going to cover all the Turkey Day games as well as the Sunday games. So if you're looking for us next week, Sunday, it's happening this week, Thursday. And, you know, we have a little beef about the Fantasy Sports Channel. We've done that show in that slot for the last 3 years. Now they're trying to tell us that slot is taken. I will air out my beef with them throughout the show, and we'll tag team the Fantasy Sports Channel and try to make that happen. All right, guys, it's a Week 11 holiday. Whew, Week 11, boy, does this season fly. And that means it's time to welcome in the stars of the show for that action. First off, we got the roster, Domus Ross Mandel. Say hello to the people now.
What's going on, Rick? Ready for some seriously meaningful games this week?
Oh, yeah, playoff implications on the line. And the good Reverend Ralph Mancini always praying for his New York Jets. Fresh out of church. Say hello to the people, Ralph.
Hey, I'm ready for those Patrick Creighton questions. I'm fired up, baby.
Well, I can bet you more Mike Williams questions will be on the way, as if we couldn't get enough of him. We'll talk about his arrest this past week, whether or not he's going to play, and some of the other hot topics around the league. If you're new to the show, this is what we do. We go around the league of mystery, intrigue, fantasy, studs, duds, and sleepers for each and every game. And, of course, as always, we'll be taking your questions in the chat room. Good to see our early morning people into the chat room. Again, we started at 8 o'clock this morning. Word will spread. I guarantee you we'll have that chat room on and popping before you even know. If you want to get in on the show, dial in.
Get ready.
347-945-6275. 347-945-6275. All right, enough of this nonsense. Let's get right into it, Ralph. We got the Buffalo Bills 1-8 against the Cincinnati Bengals 2-7 in the Who Cares game of the week. This could be a derby for the number one pick in the draft, hence Andrew Luck.
Yeah, well, let's talk running backs, because I like Fred Jackson here as a stud. He had a 133-yard rushing effort last week versus Detroit and 33 yards receiving with two touchdowns. With Spiller out, he's getting all the carries. Over the course of his career, Jackson's numbers tend to improve in November, and Cincinnati is not as strong versus the run as it was last year. They're allowing 4.3 yards per carry. Cincinnati has allowed opposing runners to score against them in seven straight games, and they've included the likes of Ernest Graham and Javaris James to hit pay dirt versus them. Look for Jackson to also score with some nice yardage numbers. The dud here is Carson Palmer. I know he's thrown two touchdowns in each of his last three games, but I wouldn't want to count on this guy heading into the playoffs. He's having severe shoulder problems. His arm is getting progressively weaker. And what bothers me most is, if you watch him, he's bailing out in a lot of plays before they develop. That's a sign to me that he's not 100%. I know that the Bills are a good matchup on paper, but Palmer makes way too many mistakes for my liking. I'm having bad vibes about the guy and the rest of the offense as far as that's concerned. The sleeper here is Jermaine Gresham, the big rookie tight end. He's coming off his best performance of the year last week by recording 9 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. Plus, the Bills have really been struggling versus tight ends over the past month especially. The linebackers can't cover tight ends, and their safety, Dante Whitner, is running around like a 250-pound linebacker right now. I do like Buffalo in an upset here, 20-17 over the fading Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow, well, that'll really do wonders for the Bengals' draft position. And, you know, Ralph, while we're talking about this game, and I have you on it real quick, let me ask you a question here. You know, a lot of times we hear about teams going from worst to first. And, you know, here's a case where the Bengals are now back to the being the Bungles, and they've gone from first to worst. Just, you know, you mentioned Carson Palmer, and I agree, just watching this man play, I think it's time for him to maybe be a backup in this league. But, you know, what are the alternatives for the Bengals? Do they blow this thing up, or do they keep the team intact? Where do they go from here, and what's the game plan for next season?
I think things have gotten a little stale over there. You know, they've seen a lot of the same characters around there for years. I'm talking about Carson Palmer. I'm talking about Chad Ochocinco. And I think both of those guys are past their prime. You know, I think a few of those guys have been getting a little bit too comfortable there, opening up their mouths and not producing. And in that division...
Well, you're talking about things getting stale. I'll throw another name into the mix. How about Marvin Lewis?
Well, Marvin Lewis is another guy that's lucky he still has a job. You know, in that division, you can't afford to be mediocre and hope to be successful, because you have teams like the Ravens to contend with and teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers that are good each and every year. And by the way, the Cleveland Browns are getting better and better every week also. So I think that Marvin Lewis needs to go. I think Palmer needs to go. And I think Chad Ochocinco needs to go as well. They need to start fresh, bring in some new faces, and start anew.
All right, well, there you have it from the Reverend. All right, let's keep it moving here. Another Who Cares game of the week, Ross. We got the Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys, both teams 2-7. Unfortunately, we have to watch both of these teams play again on Thursday. Take it away.
Well, Dallas is always intriguing no matter what they do. You know, they pulled that one out of the hat last week against the Giants. Now they have the quick turnaround taking on the Detroit Lions on the Turkey Day. Special. Look, Calvin Johnson is the stud. We all know it. 9 scores in 9 games. Now he gets a Dallas secondary that has given up 20 touchdowns against the pass. That's the second most in the NFL. Look, Dez Bryant, it's time to say it for my money. With Kitten in the game, Bryant is the number one target in Dallas. Forget Miles Austin. Bryant is the target. Look, if you don't believe me, take a look at Miles Austin's last 6 games. Jason Witten's being used to block. He was against the Giants. You know, look, you know, Detroit has a pass rush as well as the Giants, so I wouldn't expect a lot from Witten in this game. And for my money, Brandon Pettigrew gets targeted by Sean Hill more, probably worse and probably a better use than Jason Witten in this one. The dud in this game for me is Javid Best. Look, the guy's got the turf toe. Now his shoulder's banged up. I wouldn't expect a full game out of him. He did nothing against Buffalo. And honestly, if you can't do anything against the last-ranked run defense of Buffalo, you're really a dud until you prove otherwise. It's just not a good showing for Best, and I don't really see him turning it around in this game at all. The sleeper here for me, take a look at Sean Hill. Look, he didn't play that well last week, and he still scored double-digit fantasy points. So, you know, I'm not at all sold on Dallas, especially defensively. Even though they crushed my Giants last week, they weren't that solid defensively. So I think, you know, you can look for Hill to sneak into the top 10 this week as far as quarterbacks are concerned by using Calvin Johnson. Look, you got Flacco, Orton, Matt Ryan. I have him ranked right alongside those guys this week. But I got to tell you, I'm going for a Lions victory in this one, 31-30 in a Turkey Day entertaining tilt.
Wow, okay, 31-30, a shootout in the Big D. A lot of points there you're projecting, Rostradamus, rubbing into your crystal balls. Let me ask you, from a fantasy football value standpoint, do you like Kitna or Hill more this week?
In this particular game, I'll take Sean Hill. I'm still not sold on Kitna. I mean, not that Sean Hill's Johnny Unitas or anything. I think they're pretty close this week, but what can I tell you? I'm going to roll the dice and go with Sean Hill here today.
And just to reiterate what you said, Ross, I'm just repeating your words. Dez Bryant is now the go-to wide receiver on the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't really even think there's any question about it. He's the one who's producing. He's the one that Kitten is looking for. Miles Austin's a terrific receiver, but he's just not putting the numbers up that he had last year with Kitten under center now.
All right, there you have it. That's the Rostradamus, Ross Mandel. Didn't know I was going to set off such a firestorm with my Carson Palmer comments. I mean, I thought I was stating the obvious. Anyone out there who thinks this guy is playing good football, Jesus. You know, there's the church reference. I mean, good Lord and Lord, Carson Palmer, time to go, buddy. All right, we're keeping it moving here on the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show, two-hour extended version, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. I want to give a big shout-out to my man, Jody Mack and them on ESPN Radio, did a nice spot over on ESPN 1050 right here in New York, talked a little NFL draft, a little Giants and Jets. Always good to be on the Jody Mack show, so big shout-out to him. We'll be doing some appearances leading up to the draft over there. Again, if you missed our Thursday college football podcast, we had Barry Alvarez on, the former coach and now current AD from the University of Wisconsin. So definitely check out that interview. They smashed Michigan yesterday. And we got a lot of good things coming here. Check us out on the NFLDraftBible.com, NFLDraftBible.com. Check it out, check it out, check it out. All right, let's get into our next matchup of the week. And again, you know, some lackluster games, and I think maybe the 4 p.m. games will make up for it. But Baltimore 6-3 travels into the Brian St. Pierre-led Carolina Panthers, Ralph. And the Panthers are 1-8. The Ravens are 6-3. And not only that, Baltimore had 9 days to prepare for this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, this matchup is not one of your games of the week. It'll probably knock you into a coma if you don't switch over and watch some other games. But my stud here is the Baltimore defense. Carolina is just horrendous at home. The Panthers have scored a whopping 4 touchdowns and committed 15 turnovers in front of their fans in Charlotte. The Ravens are coming off of 10 days of rest, and now they're going up against Brian St. Pierre at quarterback. Brian St. Pierre, who was playing Mr. Mom last week watching the kiddie poos. I mean, you do the math here. The Baltimore defense should have an easy time against the Panthers. I also like Ray Rice here as a stud. He's getting plenty of yards running and receiving, but he's not scoring much this year. He only has 2 touchdowns on the season, but it won't matter. Baltimore will administer a heavy dosage of Rice since there won't be any need to put the ball in the air any more than 20 to 23 times in this one-sided affair. The dud here is Anquan Boldum. I mean, start him if you don't have a better alternative, but don't expect huge numbers here. The one thing Carolina does well is cover receivers. The likes of Richard Marshall and Chris Gamble and company are limiting offenses to under 200 yards passing per game. The sleeper here is Mike Goodson. The matchup isn't good, but with D'Angelo Williams on the injured reserve list, Jonathan Stewart out with a concussion, and Tyrell Sutton on the shelf with an ankle sprain, Goodson will probably get all the carries here. He's an option in deep leagues because of the volume of carries he'll get, but don't expect anything over about 60, 65 yards tops, I think. I like Baltimore here all the way in a comfortable win. Ravens 20, Carolina 3.
Wow, okay. A lot of people in Vegas will take that. Moving right along, Arizona Cardinals 3-6 at your Kansas City Chiefs 5-4. Ross, you know, the Chiefs were looking like contenders, then all of a sudden they started to look like pretenders. This is kind of a get healthy and quick with this matchup. I can see the Chiefs running the ball, and then running the ball, and then running the ball some more.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rick. Very important game for the Chiefs, and they're fortunate to have it at home, where they seem to be a completely different team. Look, just for starters, Tony Moacki is not going to play, and I've been searching the locals in Arizona, which is always good for a laugh, and it seems like Beanie Wells is going to play. For how long, nobody knows, but keep that in mind, and check the injury reports by the hour today to check his status. Look, Arizona's run defense is pretty bad, and that's not what you need when you're going into Kansas City to take on the Chiefs, but it is what you need if you have Jamaal Charles, who is by far the stud in this game. The Cardinals give up 132 yards per game, the second most fantasy points to running backs around, and look, Charles is going to hit 132 yards himself in this game. And there's also room for Thomas Jones to get something done, although his stats are fading rather alarmingly quickly. A couple of decent receivers to play here. For my money, Derek Bowe is a better play than Larry Fitzgerald in this game. Fitzgerald's never going to be a top five guy as long as they have these quarterback issues, but he will have his seven or so grabs for 80 yards and maybe a touchdown here. He's a top end number two. But Bowe is absolutely on fire. 8 touchdowns in his last 5 games, 186 yards last week. Obviously, he's not going to get that this week because they're not going to have to throw the ball like they did last week. But look, Arizona's been torched in the past few weeks by wide receivers, and I think Kansas City's trusting Matt Castle a little bit more. He's not going to throw as much, but Bowe is still going to get his in this game. The dud for me is our old friend Tim Hightower. With Beanie out, even with Beanie Wells out, he went 13 carries for 39 yards twice in a row the last 2 weeks. Now Beanie is expected to at least be a part of the equation, and to me it doesn't matter. Even if Beanie only plays a half game, Hightower is basically a 50 yards of total offense kind of guy. I wouldn't start him this week. The sleeper here, not getting a lot of love because of how they played, and probably deservedly so of late, but the Kansas City defense is going to be a solid play today. Look, they got shredded beyond comprehension last week against Denver, which devalues you. But look, things to look at. They are home. They are unbeaten at home, and they've had all their best fantasy games at home by a long margin. And number two, our buddy Derek Anderson is playing against them, and you know he's good for a few turnovers. I see the Chiefs putting the ball on the ground, taking this game easily, 27-13.
All right, 27-13, the roster dominance says so, and I have a hard time to disagree. I think the Chiefs win this one easily. Again, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. I believe the Fantasy Sports Channel will be joining us at the 8:30 hour. We're getting this party started. Half hour early, 8 to 10, 2 hours for the rest of the way out. Also, programming note, hate to keep switching things up on you each and every week, but this week we will air on Thursday, Thanksgiving morning, like we always do, from 8 to 10 a.m. Again, we will not be on the Fantasy Sports Channel, so if you're looking for us, make sure you go to our profile page Thursday, 8 to 10. The Fantasy Sports Channel will be doing their Turkey Day extravaganza, which we have kicked off in each of the past 3 years. We've been told the time slot is not available to us this year, so we're just going to do our own show anyway. You can't have a turkey kickoff extravaganza without the Fantasy Football Insider Show. No disrespect to any other shows or hosts on the Fantasy Sports Channel, but that's just what we do each and every year. So 8 to 10, Turkey Day extravaganza. We'll be doing it live, 2-hour special. And if you don't catch the morning live show, you can always go back and catch the archives, guys. So Thursday, Turkey Day morning, 8 to 10, Fantasy Football Insiders. We're going to bring it to you live and raw, uncut, because that's just how we do it. All right, let's go over to the chat room, guys. We'll come back to some of our matchups later on. Big Tex in the chat room wants to know, guys, needs 2 receivers, non-PPR, Greg Jennings, Hakeem Nicks, Mike Williams, Ross, which one are you putting on your bench?
Which Mike Williams we talking?
This is the Seattle Mike Williams, Hakeem Nicks, or Greg Jennings?
I'm definitely putting Mike Williams on the bench, not even close. The other two guys are top 10 guys this week.
All right, shout out to Go Bronx. Good to see you in the chat room. Need to start one of these wide receivers and a flex between these guys. Non-PPR, Ralph. Reggie Wayne, Stevie Johnson, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, Malcolm Floyd, LeSean McCoy, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and LeGarrette Blount. Boy, this is a tough question. He only needs to start one of these guys, Ralph, so I'll read them off one more time. Which guy are you rolling the dice with? Reggie Wayne, Stevie Johnson, Mike Williams from Tampa, Malcolm Floyd, LeSean McCoy, the law firm, or LeGarrette Blount? Take it away.
Well, if I had to pick one, it would be Reggie Wayne. He is the number one receiver in Indianapolis, and I think with the return of Austin Colley, I think that should open things up for that entire offense. They're finally going to have a slot receiver to go to. Last week, Wayne had to play in the slot, and that's not his position. The guy that I also like is the law firm. I would rank him second after Wayne.
Hey, Ross, you care to chime in on this one?
Well, I'm not that high on the law firm this week at all, but definitely Reggie Wayne. I'm down with this week. Austin Collie probably going to be back in the mix, so I like him, but I'm not high on the law firm over there.
I disagree.
All right, guys. Keep it moving. Little debate in the chat room here between Danny Woodhead or the law firm. Which one do you guys prefer?
I'm going to go with the law firm. I mean, look, Indianapolis is going up against a small defense, and they're going to need to run the ball up the middle to slow down those defensive ends, Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney. You know, and you saw the type of damage that the Patriots did to the Steelers. And I think with the return of Logan Mankins there at guard, I think that's really strengthening that offensive line and that running game. I look for the Patriots to do a lot better running the ball down the stretch.
Hey, yeah, I gotta give a shout out to DeMarco in the chat room, man, because you know, either you're a very diehard Bengals fan or you're related to Carson Palmer. Dude, the guy stinks. I don't care what his stats are. Look at how he plays. You know, he's lucky he has, you know, some weapons there on offense. All the Bengals do is pass the ball, so his numbers are going to be formidable. But if you actually put on the television set and watch this guy play, he's Garboso, Men in Trash, Emilio Estevez. Need two, Peyton Hillis, LeGarrette Blount, MJD. Which one you sit on your bench? However you got these three guys on your same roster, that's pretty impressive. Peyton Hillis, LeGarrette Blount, MJD needs two. Which one you putting on your bench, Ralph?
Yeah, the guy I'm putting on my bench is LeGarrette Blount. He has a tough matchup. I think Peyton Hillis is a top three. And who's the other guy again? Maurice Jones-Drew?
MJD and Peyton Hillis, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with MJD and Peyton Hillis here.
I agree.
All right. Back over to the chat, our good friend Ollie, who's in the 20-team Royal Rumble that we do each year, guys. Shout out to our boy Ollie. Wants to know, Jacob Tammy or Zach Miller at the tight end position this week? Hopefully none of us are playing him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you get away from Jacob Tammy. And Miller's
been
banged up.
He is a little banged up, but I'm still going with Tammy.
Yeah, I think at this point, Tammy, and I even saw some comments that Peyton Manning made this week about the confidence that he has in Jacob Tammy. And you know, it looks like right now, you know, you could argue he's the number two receiving option on the Colts there this week. All right, guys, let's keep it on, keep it going. And, you know, I just want to remind everybody that we'll be on Thursday from 8 to 10. However, it won't be on the Fantasy Sports Channel. And if you have a problem with that, the person you need to talk to actually resides in our chat room. His name is Taz. You might have heard of the guy. We're just having a little fun with him. You know, we love Taz here at Fantasy Football Insiders. He's our quote-unquote official moderator of the chat room. He's with us each and every week. And just some miscommunication. You know, every organization has some internal conflict from time to time. So this is ours, and we're going to take a stance. We're going to do our show from 8 to 10, regardless whether the Fantasy Sports Channel is with us or not. We're going to bring it to you. All right, guys, let's keep it in the chat room. PC Keen, always glad to see you. Sean Green, LeGarrette Blount, or Brandon Jackson in a non-PPR needs one of these guys, Ross. Sean Green, LeGarrette Blount, Brandon Jackson. Call me crazy, but I think Blount is just sticking out like a sore thumb here.
Yeah, he is, although I think Brandon Jackson is going to have a decent game, but I like Blount by a little bit.
Okay, fair enough. Back over to our boy Ali, Ralph. He wants to know Malcolm Floyd, Pierre Garçon, or Muhammad Massaquai?
Look, I know Floyd's coming back from an injury. He's going to be in his first game back. You know, Taz points out, he's asking the question, will he last the whole entire game? Look, I have to go with the upside here and go with Floyd. He is playing with Phillip Rivers. He is going to be the number one receiver there. And then Massaquai, look, he's a total zero because the Cleveland Browns, and Colt McCoy in particular, does not throw the ball to wide receivers. And as far as Pierre Garçon is concerned, I mean, that guy is turning into the next version of Braylon Edwards, the bad Braylon Edwards, where he's dropping passes right and left. I think that with Collie in there, I think that Garçon might be losing some targets just because Peyton Manning is losing confidence in him.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I think Malcolm Floyd is definitely the play here, Ralph. However, I got to say, Muhammad Massaquoi, I think, could be a deep sleeper, you know, for somebody in a 20-team league such as ourselves. You know, let's be honest here. Joshua Cribbs is out. He's been ruled out. So Massaquoi, I think, had a touchdown last week. You know, 20-team league, Massaquoi might be an okay, decent type of play. I don't want to write him off completely, but I definitely agree. Malcolm Floyd is definitely the guy to go with here. JoJo wants to know, and Ralph, I know you'll be covering the Monday Night Football game, and you'll be providing us with an update on Antonio Gates, but he wants to know, he picked up Ben Watson and Randy McMichael just in case. What's the latest and the greatest on Gates, and who do you like more, Watson or McMichael?
Well, the latest on Gates is he's still having problems with those feet of his, and he did not practice on Saturday, so things are not looking good for Antonio Gates. Now, if you do have him, you must certainly pick up McMichael just in case. But I'll tell you, if you do have Ben Watson on your team, I wouldn't have any problem starting him this week. Look, I'm not the biggest Ben Watson fan. I always thought the guy was a little bit overrated, but they don't throw the ball to the wide receivers in Cleveland. They throw it to Ben Watson. You saw that game last week versus the Jets where Colt McCoy, and this is something that rookie quarterbacks tend to do a lot. When they find their go-to receiver, they stick with them and they keep on going to them over and over and over again. And now Colt McCoy, he's entered that comfort zone with Ben Watson, so you know he's going to see the ball a lot.
Okay, sticking in the chat room theme, Ross, Go Bronx wants to know, should he start LeSean McCoy over Arian Foster? Is he overthinking this because Foster is playing against the Jets? So, in other words, he has Foster in his lineup. He's feeling a bit hesitant because he's going up against the Jets. Should he play Shady McCoy instead?
I don't think that's a crazy move. I think these guys are both going to end up with similar numbers this week. But, you know, sometimes people try to get cute. You know, like last week people were talking about benching Brady for Josh Freeman. We said it was ridiculous and we were right. I don't think that's the case here. You could state a case for playing McCoy in that insanely effective Eagles offense right now, hitting on all cylinders, as opposed to playing Foster against the Jets, who, you know, very possibly could have an 11 rush for a 30-yard kind of day out of the backfield. I think they're both going to end up with close to 100 yards and a score apiece. So, I don't know. I mean, I'd probably roll with McCoy, to be honest with you, if I had the two.
Ralph, you care to weigh in there?
You know something? McCoy has a tough matchup, too, because teams have trouble running against the Giants as well. I'm going to stick with Arian Foster here. I think he's a bigger part of that offense than McCoy is with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that although the Houston Texans are probably going to get their butts handed to them, I do think that Foster probably has a chance to score a cheap touchdown and, you know, gain between maybe 70 and 80 yards. So I'm going to go with Arian Foster.
I agree. I go with Arian Foster just because he's been a stud up until this point. I have a hard time putting him on the bench. You know, he got you here. If you have Arian Foster on your team, chances are you have a good record. Keep it that way. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. All right, guys, keeping it moving here. A little debate in the chat room. Sorry. JoJo wants to know, Malcolm Floyd over Stevie Johnson in a PPR. And right off the bat, Taz is down on my guy Stevie Johnson. But I'm going to tell JoJo, you're crazy, my man, if you sit Stevie Johnson on your bench for Malcolm Floyd. Do you guys care to weigh in one way or the other?
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of being crazy, Rick. I like Floyd a whole lot, and I've always liked Stevie Johnson. Even last year I liked him, but I'm always a bit hesitant to throw a guy right into the mix when he's coming back off of an injury. And Stevie Johnson's been relatively healthy, and he's ready to go. Floyd hasn't played in a long time. I think I would go with Stevie Johnson in this one.
Okay, rounding out the chat room, we'll have an update on the Tampa Bay Mike Williams and what his status is. We'll take a moment to discuss that when we cover the Tampa Bay game. JoJo, to answer your question, yes, go Ben Watson over Randy McMichael, absolutely. And one more from PC Keen. non-PPR flex position, Cedric Benson, Brandon Jacobs, or Michael Crabtree needs one of these guys, Ralph. Cedric Benson, Brandon Jacobs, or Michael Crabtree?
Look, you know, considering the matchup, I would normally tell you go with Cedric Benson, but he is a little banged up. He missed a few practices this week. He's got a bad foot. And the latest that I read on Cedric Benson is that he might be a game-time decision this week. So I would definitely check on that. If you have the room on your roster, pick up his backup, Bernard Scott. So I would probably go with either Cedric Benson or Bernard Scott, depending on, you know, what Cedric Benson ends up doing, whether he plays or not.
I don't know. Brandon Jacobs has been playing like a man repossessed, and I might ride that wave while it's riding high. Ross, let me get a third opinion. Benson, Jacobs, or Crabtree needs one.
Yeah, I don't like Jacobs at all this week, Rick. I think when the Giants are playing from behind or they get into a passing contest, he doesn't see the field, and I think that's definitely going to be the case this week. Look, for me, the Cedric Benson situation is like, you know, you got a little bit of a fever and someone asks you if you want to go to the Playboy Mansion. That's what it's like playing against the Buffalo Bills, man. If Benson can walk, he's going to want to accumulate some serious statistics against Buffalo. But again, as Rev said, I'd even rather have Scott than the other two guys. So keep an eye on that situation, see what Benson's status is. But I'd imagine he'd suck it up and play when you're playing Buffalo.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, one more tight end question. Tony Gonzalez or Mercedes Lewis, non-PPR, open floor?
I'm going to go with Tony Gonzalez. I know that they're going to be running the ball a lot with Michael Turner, but I also think there's going to be some room for Tony Gonzalez. And look, I love Mercedes Lewis as well. He's been playing great this year. The guy is so big, he's hard to cover. But the one thing that worries me just a little bit about Mercedes Lewis is that the other Zach Miller with the Jacksonville Jaguars has also been getting some looks, and I think that might be the trend going forward down the stretch here, where Zach Miller might get into that offense a little bit more, whereas Tony Gonzalez is the only show in town in Atlanta as far as tight ends go.
All right, a couple more chat room questions, and then we're going to go over to the phone lines. Lighten up. The phone lines are lighting up. We're going to be over there in a second. A couple quick hitters. Ross, Mark Sanchez over Ryan Fitzpatrick today. Are you on board with that?
Wow. Yeah, I am on board with that. I think Sanchez is going to have a terrific game against a defense where any one of us could probably throw for 250 and a couple of touchdowns. Houston's defense is just embarrassing at this point. I have a hard time benching anyone going against them.
I agree. The Houston pass defense is 26th in the league. I think Sanchez is good for at least two touchdowns, one to Braylon, one to Santonio. Put it in your books. All right. Need to start two between Jamal Charles, Tolbert, and Javid Best, Ralph. You know, Best is kind of banged up. I think he's got it right. He said he's looking at Charles and Tolbert. Is that the right decision?
Absolutely. You don't start Javid Best this week. He's got a banged up shoulder. He's got bad feet. And, you know, I mean, I think that the Detroit Lions are going to need to throw the ball this week. I know that Javid Best does catch the ball well, but if you look at his stats after week two, I mean, this guy hasn't gone over 100 yards passing and receiving in a long time. I mean, this guy hasn't been productive since week two, basically. So I just would rather put him on the bench. I don't know. I think that Best might end up missing some games this week, maybe just to keep him healthy for next year. Maurice Morris might get some more carries down the stretch.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Special reminder programming note this Thursday, Thanksgiving morning, we will air from 8 to 10. Check us out. We will not be on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Make sure you go to our profile page, just like you probably had to do today for Thanksgiving morning, 8 to 10. And, of course, if you're in the kitchen baking a turkey, you can always check us out on the archives later on before the games get going. All right, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. It's phone line time, and you know what that means. Jersey's in the house.
Yo, my brothers are three different mothers, man. 5-0 in the other leg, took a hit last week by 8, but hey, couple questions, please. I heard you talk about Aaron Foster early. Problem is I got him in both leagues. In my PPR league where you get 10-point rushing touchdown, I got Foster, I got Mendenhall, and I got Fast Freddie Jackson. I was almost thinking about starting Freddie Jackson and sitting, this is my 5-5 leg. I'm tied for third with three guys. Against Arian Foster in that leg. What's your feeling on that? Jets are tough. I have an option in Jackson, but, you know, what's your opinion, guys, between those three? I need two.
You know, I got to say, right off the bat, Jersey, you know, great minds must think alike, because to me, I'm thinking if the Texans do score today, it's going to be through the air. And I think Buffalo is going to be involved in a shootout with the Bengals there. And the fact that it's 10 points per rushing touchdown is a little bit of a monkey wrench. So I'm actually leaning toward, you know, I actually like Freddie Jackson and Mendenhall maybe a little bit more than Foster with your scoring system here. The question for me is Freddie Jackson or Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to take a deep breath and pass it to the left, and then I'll come back and give you my answer. Go ahead, Rob.
I like Freddie Jackson this week. I mean, if you look at Buffalo with their situation right now with C.J. Spiller out, I mean, who else is going to be running the ball? They're not going to be counting on Quentin Ganther. I think it's going to be the C.J. Spiller show out there, and he does catch the ball as well as run the ball. I think he's going to put up some yards, and I think he's going to score.
Russ, you know, more bang for your buck, Mendenhall, Freddie Jackson, or Arian Foster, 10 points for a rushing touchdown?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mendenhall today. I think the Steelers have learned a lesson from last week, and that is that their offensive line cannot block anybody as far as pass defense is concerned. I'd look for them to run the ball an awful lot this week, and you can do that against the Raiders if you pound and you pound. I think the Steelers are going to get back to running the ball. I'd be shocked if Mendenhall didn't have 20 or more carries this week, and for me, he definitely finds the end zone. I like Freddie Jackson second. You know, in that kind of scoring system, Jersey, I think Foster is the third best bet here.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm gonna agree on the Mendenhall. I like him the most. I think he gets the most touches, and I think he has the best chance to score here.
That's what I was thinking too, guys. My other two in my standard league, I'm 6-4, tied for first. I got the same situation. I'm almost thinking about going with the law firm if Fred Taylor's out, and say Steven Jackson. And sitting Foster in the standard league. Is that a good idea, putting the law firm in? If Fred Taylor's out, is that a smart move or no?
I don't blame you for going with the law firm. I know Ross doesn't like him, but I do. I mean, you saw the way he ran the ball versus Pittsburgh, and the Colts have a small defense. I think New England should have their way, and that is probably going to be a high-scoring game where, you know, both offenses should be able to move the ball. I look for the law firm to score this week and to put up some good yardage numbers.
Yeah,
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, or Arian Foster? That's a tough one, Ross. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Foster here. You know, there's a certain point where Foster becomes more useful than certain backs. I don't like him more than Mendenhall, but I do like him more than Green Ellis. I just think that I don't disagree with you, Rev. I think the Pats are going to be able to move the ball. I think they are going to score, but I'm not going to discount Danny Woodhead. I don't know what Fred Taylor is going to bring into the mix, but, you know, at best, I could see Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, maybe 80 yards in the score, and I think Foster has the potential all around to have more yardage and sneak a touchdown.
Yeah, I think Fred Taylor's a non-factor here, although I got to say, to sit Arian Foster for the law firm, I think you're getting a little bit too cute and fancy there, Jersey. Ride your studs. I'd stay with Foster.
All right, my last question, guys. In that same league that I'm 6-4, dilemma I have, I've been always starting Dez Bryant and Mike Williams, and I will start them this week if Williams is still in from Tampa Bay. But my dilemma is Brandon Marshall, I didn't play, but he may be hurt. But I got Floyd coming off of IR and also Sidney Rice. The problem is, I'm going to keep Malcolm Floyd because I have Rivers, but I'm not going to start him. I'm going to keep Dez Bryant. I'm going to keep Mike Williams at Tampa Bay. So between Sidney Rice and Brandon Marshall, who do I drop? I don't know if I can drop Marshall this week because he already played, but I didn't play him. I kept him on my bench. But if Rice is active, I have to drop somebody. I can only keep four receivers but start two. Who's the odd man out you drop?
Well, you can't drop Brandon Marshall first and foremost. I mean, you just can't do that. Sidney Rice, I'll put it to you this way. You know, I'm not expecting too much of anything out of Sidney Rice. So my attempt right now would be to trade him right now, last second, if you can. If you can't, hold your breath. Hope that he has. Yeah.
You got to drop him by today? Last week, yeah, last weekend.
You got to drop him by today?
Yeah, if he's active and going to play, yeah, because our trade deadline was done last Sunday, the 14th. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I can't imagine that Sidney Rice is going to be more productive than any of those other four guys. All four of those guys are number one wide receivers on their team. Go ahead, Rouse.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, first of all, don't expect a lot out of Sidney Rice this week because he's probably only going to see 20 to 25 snaps, if that. And then on top of that, I expect Minnesota to get killed this week, and that team is dead in the water. I mean, they hate their head coach. Brett Favre looks like he's not into it this year. So, I mean, look, I mean, gun to my head, you know, compared to those other receivers that you mentioned before, Sidney Rice to me comes in last, you know, when I'm comparing him to Marshall and to Mike Williams and to Floyd. I think his upside is the lowest.
Yeah,
I
got to agree here. I think here's what you're looking at. You're looking at Sidney Rice needing at least a couple of games, if not more, to get back into game shape and be productive. And by then, what do you have, one or two games left in your regular season, and then you have the playoffs. So you're going to get less out of Sidney Rice than any of those other guys. So for my money, you got to get rid of him, even though, you know, it's probably hard because you waited all year to get him active, and now he's finally healthy.
And not only Jersey, but, you know, by the time Sidney Rice is hitting his stride, it's not even going to be Brett Favre in there throwing him the ball. It's going to be Joe Webb. Trust me when I tell you.
No.
Okay. That's why I come to you guys. You got me 5-0 on the other leg. Like I said, Michael Vick gave me 75 points last week. I lost 150 to 141 because I played Moss over Williams, but I still would have lost by two. So I got Bolden and a Mike Williams in this week. Sit Moss in my PPR. Last question. Sit Randy Moss. I got Bolden and Mike Williams in. That's my last question. Do I sit Randy Moss still?
You got to find a way to play Randy Moss this week. My man is going to go off.
Yes.
Washington's all banged up. They're losing. They got a starting corner. I think D'Angelo Hall and Laron Landry are both out. Randy Moss is going to have a field day. Gun to my head, I'd play him over Mike Williams.
Okay.
I agree. That Washington secondary is all banged up, and they give up yards to everybody, to every passing game. I wouldn't hesitate to use Randy Moss. I think he goes off this week.
Okay. Do you sit Williams, or do you think you should sit Bolden due to the fact that Baltimore may run the ball
out? I would sit Bolden because they don't really need to pass the ball versus Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, I like Mike Williams this week.
Flacco's been on fire, but, you know, Mike Williams is doing his thing. But Jersey, find a way to get Randy Moss in there. He's making his home debut. He's going to go off.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a nice Thanksgiving. Best of luck to you guys. Hopefully you get me 6-0 in my other leg. I'm still in first. And I'm tied with my son and somebody else in the other leg. Yo, Del Valle won. They're going to go to Mount Union in Ohio next weekend for the second round of the playoffs. So I think they're going to be done there. But Youngin had a good run there. Thanks again, guys. I appreciate it. Best of luck to you guys this weekend, as usual. And we'll talk next week. Thank you, and have a very, very safe and nice Thanksgiving.
And right back to you, Jersey. Always appreciate the New Jersey High School football update. Please keep those coming. Definitely appreciate that. Back over to the phone line, 313. You know, you're becoming a regular now. You're on the line. What's on your mind?
Happy holidays to you, fellas.
Right
Happy
back at you.
Happy Turkey Day.
I appreciate it. Well, me and my four-month-old son are both becoming regular. Sometimes I have you on speakerphone so he can soak in the knowledge.
Get him started early. I like it.
Exactly. But at any rate, I got a two-part question for you. We'll take this in bite-sized pieces. The first part is a three-reception PPR. If Austin Collie is healthy, do I go Austin Collie or James Jones this week?
Well, I think Austin Collie is playing. I'll let these guys confirm that, but I would definitely go Collie over James. Ralph?
I agree. I'm going to go with Austin Collie here. He's that one missing component that the Colts were missing last week. They were forced to put Wayne in the slot position. I think with Collie back, I think that Peyton Manning's going to feel a whole lot more comfortable this week throwing the ball. I'll definitely go with Collie over
I'm always a little concerned when guys come back after getting the living daylights knocked out of them. I don't think Collie's going to be afraid to go over the middle, but I'd kind of want to see it, and I like the way James Jones is playing, and I'm not high on Donald Driver at all. I think Jones is going to become the number two guy there. I'd actually go with Jones in this game. I'm a little fearful of Collie, you know, dipping his toe back in the water.
Well, Ross, you know what, Ross? I usually agree with you, and I felt that way about DeSean Jackson when DeSean Jackson came back from fracturing his face. And you know what? His first game back, man, he exploded. He went off. It didn't faze him. So I'm not going to get burnt by that logic twice. I'm going to throw Austin Collie in there in what I think is going to be a high-scoring shootout between the Pats and Colts.
That's fair.
Okay. All right. I like that. Okay. So now, second question. This may require a little bit of thinking. I have Pierre Thomas and I got Beanie Wells. Moving forward, going into the playoffs, I'm 6-4 right now, so I expect to make the playoffs, and I got some good matchups down the stretch. Moving forward, who should I probably cut bait with and try, and then who do you think will be available on maybe a backup running back like a Derek Ward that you think are going to get more touches down the stretch because the team is either out of it or they've worked their back too much?
Well, that's a tough question, and I'm going to work backwards. First off, I think the running back that might be still sitting out there on your waiver wire is Keelan Williams from the Redskins. You know, this guy's flying under the radar. He got the majority of the carries last week for the Redskins. I can't really put too much money in the bank on Clinton Portis to come back strong. So I think Keelan Williams is your guy there. As far as Pierre Thomas or Beanie Wells goes, that's an extremely tough question. I love Beanie Wells when he's healthy, but it seems like the guy is never healthy. When Pierre
right.
Thomas is healthy, we've seen what he can do. He basically carried the Saints into the Super Bowl. However, you know, the fact that Reggie Bush and Chris Ivory and Liddell Betts and Julius Jones are all on the roster, I'm just not so sure that Pierre Thomas is going to be a consistent 20-carry type back, whereas when Beanie Wells is healthy, I think he is a 20-carry-plus back, but he plays for a garbage team.
Right.
If I had to pick one, I'd go Beanie Wells, but I'm going to toss it over to Ross.
Yeah, I think I like Rick's suggestion of Keelan Williams, but if you're going to have to go a little bit deeper than that, I've mentioned this guy before. Keep an eye on Green Bay, James Starks, who's getting healthier. I really think they're going to work him into the mix later in the season. For my money, I don't think Thomas is going to play until week 13, and you got to figure he's going to need to get his feet under him a little bit. So figure week 15 is when he's really going to start to find his groove again. It depends what your playoff format is, but I like Thomas a lot more than I like Wells. Wells is completely unreliable. He always plays hurt. If he has, you know, if they say he's healthy, he could have a couple carries and be out of the game, whereas I think the Saints are playing it very smartly with Pierre Thomas. They're going to wait. They know they're probably going to make the playoffs. They need him 100% healthy for that, and they're going to want to get him into game shape and give him the ball. And I think Bush being back would actually help him, Rick, because it spreads the offense out, and that's what this Saint offense has been missing all season is Thomas and Bush, because without the threat of them in there, it's just not as easy for Drew Brees to throw the ball around the field. So I actually would go with Thomas if your playoff system lasts deep into the season.
A lot of good points. Also, you know, another thing to factor is the Saints will be playing meaningful football where the Cardinals will be dead and buried and playing meaningless football,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Go ahead, Ralph. If I
could chime in for a second. Look, if you have Beanie Wells, you try to trade him right now. I mean, the guy's just going to let you down. I traded him for a law firm earlier this week in one of my leagues. The guy's just going to drive you nuts, wondering whether or not he's going to play from week to week. Look, if you're looking for a good sleeper, you want to make a nice trade, try to pick up a guy like Justin Forsett. I think he's going to get a lot of action down the stretch, and he's got a great playoff schedule. And then if you're digging a little deeper, look at James Davis for the Washington Redskins. This guy had an opportunity to sign with the Carolina Panthers. He decided to stay with the Washington Redskins, where he's still in the practice squad. To me, that means that James Davis is probably going to get a chance to play down the stretch. And the other guy I would look at, if you're in a deep league, you just want a stash and hope type of guy, what about Mike Hart from the Indianapolis Colts? I think he is the best running back out of the guys that they do have. If he does come back from that ankle injury, I think that he is going to be the most productive out of all those backs, including Joseph Addai.
Okay, yeah, well, my trade deadline has already came and gone, so I'm trying to see if I can pick me a gem out of the garbage that's left on our Slim Pickens waiver wire. But I appreciate the insight, fellas, and as usual, you always helpful on these Sunday mornings, and so you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You as well.
Hey, absolutely, and if you can, join us for Thanksgiving. And really quickly, I'm going to throw another name out there for you as far as the running backs go on the waiver wire. You know, keep an eye on Derek Ward. I'm not saying to go pick him up right now, but if Arian Foster does go down, if he does get hurt, I think Derek Ward has a chance to be a big-time fantasy football factor for those Houston Texans. So, you know, it's one of those things where if Foster goes down, you got to run to your computer and pick him up off the waiver wire. But Derek Ward, definitely somebody in the long term could maybe benefit your fantasy football team. All right. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, going around the league of Mystery Intrigue. We started at 8 o'clock today, so we did get a few games down. We're going to jump back over to our game previews, fantasy stud duds and sleepers. We'll then kick it back over to our chat room people and get those questions in. Next up on the docket, we got the Cleveland Browns, who are 3-6, traveling into Jacksonville, 5-4, and Ralph, these two teams are like mosquitoes, you know, especially Jacksonville. It seems like they just don't want to go away.
Yeah, well, you know, if Jacksonville's got an easy matchup, they usually take advantage of that. The stud I like here is Peyton Hillis. If you don't know it by now, Peyton Hillis is the fourth highest scoring back in fantasy football. He's averaging 28 touches over the past 2 weeks. And the Jags are not only allowing a generous 4.3 yards per carry, but have already allowed 12 rushing touchdowns to their opponents. Only the Denver Broncos have given up more. The other stud here is Mike Thomas, the wide receiver. You're hearing that Mike Sims-Walker is not going to play this week. Garrard will force the ball to him. Thomas has scored in each of his last two games. While Cleveland's defense has really improved, they still don't cover well. They leave lots of cushion to wide receivers. And you're also hearing that valuable nickelback Mike Adams for the Browns will be sitting this one out with an abdominal injury. I think that Mike Thomas scores again and gets a lot of action. The dud here is the aforementioned Mike Sims-Walker. Get him out of your lineup. He can't play on his bad ankle. The other dud here, I would say Colt McCoy and his receivers are duds. McCoy hasn't thrown for more than one touchdown in any of his games, although he has been mighty impressive, and he does not throw it to his wide receivers. And that's why my sleeper is Ben Watson, the tight end. We talked about this guy before. The fading veteran has had an amazing resurgence with McCoy in the lineup. He was targeted 10 times last week, and the Jaguars are very accommodating to tight ends. Jacksonville's inexperienced safety duo of Courtney Green and Don Carey won't mount much of a challenge, but I do like Cleveland in this game. I'm going to go with the improving Cleveland Browns 22, Jacksonville 14.
Yeah, good money line bet there. I think the Reverend loves him some Ben Watson over there. Ross, keeping it moving. I love this game. You know, I got your text when you saw this game come out this week. You said you had a flashback to the 70s. And that's because it's the Oakland Raiders playing good football, 5-4, and they're traveling into Pittsburgh this week, 6-3.
Upset alert, baby. And don't give me any of these 1 and 2 point upset spreads. This is an upset if it happens. Look, I mean, we all saw what happened last week with the Steelers. That offensive line was an absolute disaster. Look, doesn't seem like Darius Haywood-Bey is going to play for the Raiders. If any of you had him on your roster, there you go. Look, Oakland is good against the pass, and the Steelers' offensive line is a mess. So to me, that means if Pittsburgh knows what's good for them, and I believe that they do after that New England shellacking, I think they're giving Mendenhall the ball a ton of times here. Doesn't mean Mike Wallace and Roethlisberger shouldn't be used today. It just means they're not going to have monster games. And don't be misled by those garbage time stats. If you didn't watch that game Monday night, if you turned it off, Roethlisberger ended up with a monster fantasy night. But it was all garbage time. I don't see it happening this time. I actually like your boy, Rick, Darren McFadden, this one. And, you know, look, I know Pittsburgh's number one rush defense, but McFadden can get it done as a receiver as well. And Pittsburgh's not invincible against the run. look for McFadden to get it done, healthy coming off the bye week. Who thought we'd ever say that? You know, he and Zach Miller, who seems to be ready to go after missing a few weeks with a nagging injury, are the two Raiders that should be had here. They're the ones with the potential. The dud for me is Lewis Murphy, guys. He hasn't played in almost a month. I'd wait and see. I like to do that, as I've said. If he's ready, if you have any other options, you know, he may need a week or two to get back into it and for the offense to get back into the swing with him with the chemistry involved. To me, that leaves room for the sleeper this week, and I know you might consider him a one-week wonder, but I liked what I saw out of Jacoby Ford last week. If you saw the Kansas City game, you saw that there just simply isn't anyone that can deal with this guy's speed, and I'm going to have to say he's going to get more reps. And one thing we know about Pittsburgh, they have a hard time dealing with team speed, and the Raiders have it. Val Davis does one thing. It's he collects fast guys. Look, for my money, if you have a league that counts return yardage, Jacoby Ford must be in your lineup today. I want to pick the Raiders to win, but I can't do it. I think the Steelers eke out a 24-23 victory in a game that will probably end up saying the Raiders should have won.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun game to watch, that's for sure. Let's get a couple more games in before we go back over to the chat room. Ralph, the Washington Redskins 4-5, traveling to Tennessee where the Titans are 5-4. We discussed this earlier briefly. Randy Moss making his home debut. Ryan Terrain is out. Clinton Portis is in. And Albert Haynesworth faces his old team again.
Yes, the stud here is Randy Moss. Not only is Washington ranked 31st versus the pass, but safety LaRon Landry has been ruled out with an Achilles injury. That means Reed Dowdy replaces him. Yikes. And also
Yikes.
Carlos Rogers, is also out. And on top of that, I mean, D'Angelo Hall, I mean, this guy gets constantly abused week in and week out. Look for the Titans to take some shots downfield with Randy Moss. Moss has had a couple of weeks to settle in with the Tennessee Titans. His size and deep speed will be too much for Washington to handle. The dud here is the other Moss, Santana Moss. Mr. Unreliable was a non-factor last week with 3 receptions for 28 yards, and he hasn't topped 80 yards receiving since October 10th. Plus, the Titans are allowing the 7th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. You know, as far as Santana Moss, you guys know how I feel. Whenever you need that guy, he always lets you down, and this is going to be one of those weeks. The sleeper here, actually, I got 2 sleepers. Nate Washington's a sleeper. He's not someone you could count on normally, but the Redskins are banged up in the secondary, and they're vulnerable to the deep ball, and we all know that Nate Dogg has some wheels. A deep sleeper here, if you're in a deep league, is Fred Davis. Now, Chris Cooley has a nagging ankle injury, and he's been moving slower than Benji Molina out there, so look for Davis to get some action. This kid is athletic. He can find the soft spots in the zone. He's a deep league option, and he did have a 71-yard play last week versus the Eagles. As far as the score goes, I love Tennessee here, 28-16.
All right, 28-16 for the Titans. You heard it from the Reverend, so it must be right. One more game, Ross. Let's go before we get over to the chat room. The Packers, 6-3 against the Vikings, 3-6. I don't think I really need to say much to set this one up.
Oh, baby. Brett Favre. You know, guys, I think we've seen Brett Favre play his last meaningful game for Minnesota or anybody else for that matter, and sorry if that makes me smile. This is his last game against the Packers, I believe. You know, Aaron Rodgers well-rested, coming off a 289-yard, 3-touchdown game against Dallas. That's basically like having 2 bye weeks, fellas, and I think Rodgers is going to be raring to go. Those legs are going to be churning. For me, Greg Jennings is the stud here. Look, since week 6, this guy has been exactly what we thought he would be. Those of us who drafted him and stuck with him are very relieved, and I think we're going to be extremely happy today after this game. It wouldn't surprise me to see him score 2 touchdowns in this game. The dud for my money here, love the guy, but I think it might be time to stick the fork in him, and that's Donald Driver. This quad injury that he struggled with seems to have healed enough, but really, I don't see him producing more than James Jones. Donald Driver just looks a step slow. and I think Rodgers is starting to get in sync with James Jones. Driver has just one double-digit fantasy game all season. I would avoid him until he proves that he is what he used to be. Sleeper here, and I know a lot of people down on this guy all season, but keep your eye on him in this game. I think he's going to go nuts, and that's Brandon Jackson. He's got three double-digit games in his last five, and he's found the end zone, put up 16 points against Minnesota the first time these teams played each other this year. He's useful as a receiver. He's getting more involved in the offense. And Minnesota's defense, especially run-wise, isn't nearly as intimidating as it used to be in the past seasons. I think 75, 80 yards and a touchdown is well within the realm of possibility for Green Bay because they will be scoring today. I think they win. I think Favre gets a couple of garbage time touchdowns. Green Bay 31, Minnesota 21.
All right. When we come back to the games, we will next preview the Texans at the Jets, and then we will get into our 4 p.m. matchups. But first, we got a bamboozle of questions coming in from the chat room. We're going to take them one at a time, make sure we answer all your questions. Because, of course, at the end of the day, we're here for you, the people. The people, baby. It's all about the people. And people, please check us out Thanksgiving morning, 8 to 10. 8 to 10 a.m. Thanksgiving morning instead of Sunday. We'll be on Thanksgiving morning. We want to make sure we get in all the turkey games. Programming note, we will not be on the Fantasy Sports Channel. We will be on our own show doing our own thing. And, yes, check us out, All Access Football. They've thrown us off the Turkey Day extravaganza. We've only kicked it off for the past 3 years. But, you know, this year we have to do our own thing. Anybody that's got beef with that like we do, make sure you attack Taz in the chat room because that's his fault. All right, guys. Let's get over into some questions. Needs one for a non-PPR, Ralph. Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Crabtree, or Malcolm Floyd?
Fitzgerald, Crabtree, or Floyd? You know something? I'm going to go with Floyd here. I mean, as far as I know, he's healthy. As far as I know, he's playing. And Rivers, you know, he doesn't have too many other options out there. You know, he's going to be playing alongside the likes of Patrick Creighton and Randy McMichael. I think that he's going to get the ball forced into him a lot on Monday Night Football. I think the Chargers put up a lot of points. I'm going to go with Floyd here.
Hey, Russ, call me crazy, but Troy Smith playing some good football. Any love for your boy Michael Crabtree?
Not in this particular matchup. I have to agree with the ref here. To me, it's Floyd by a whisker over Fitzgerald, who, you know, he's going to get 70 yards and a touchdown, but you know Phillip Rivers is going to be very psyched to have Malcolm Floyd back in there, and he's going to be throwing him the ball probably more than Fitzgerald is going to get thrown the ball today by Anderson. I just hesitate to use Crabtree. I don't know that I trust Troy Smith yet. It's not as good of a matchup as he had the last time out. So, I'm going to go with Floyd just over Fitzgerald.
All righty. And, yeah, that San Diego's, they're going to be airing the ball all over the place against Denver, and that'll be the Monday Night Football game matchup that we preview. But how about Ralph, Kyle Orton, who will be involved in that shootout, or Eli Manning this week?
You know, I'm going to go with Eli Manning here. Look, the New York Giants are going to score points. This is going to be a highly contested matchup. I'm not telling you the Giants are going to win the game, but Eli Manning is going to find a way to move the ball. He does have the weapons. And I, frankly, you know, I think Philadelphia is going to take the lead and is going to force the Giants to air it out, to play catch-up. And as far as Orton goes, you know something? He's got Brandon Lloyd, Jabari Gaffney. Even with Steve Smith out, I might like the Giants' weapons a little bit better. And I think that Manning's also going to throw the ball to Bradshaw a lot this week. I'm going to go with Eli Manning.
Wow, okay. Russ, your take, Kyle Orton or Eli Manning?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know Eli Manning pretty well, being a Giants fan. And this is kind of the game that he plays well in, even if he does make a couple of mistakes. I could see him throwing two interceptions, but I could also see him throwing four touchdowns. I think San Diego is going to start to get themselves in gear, as they always do. And I like Eli's upside a little bit more than I like Orton's in this one. Even if there is garbage time for Denver to accumulate statistics, I think Eli steps up in this one, and I'm glad he's on the road. If this game were at I almost said Giant Stadium. Sorry, Rev. If this game were at the new Meadowlands, I would actually go with Orton, but I think Eli performs better on the road, as the Giants tend to in these bigger games, so I'm going with Manning.
I got to agree. The Giants play to their level of competition. Eli usually bounces back after a bad game. I'm on board with Eli over Orton for this week number 11 holiday. All right, guys, non-PPR needs one of these guys, Ross. Arian Foster, LeGarrette Blount, no Sean Marino, or Sean Green. I think it becomes between Arian Foster or LeGarrette Blount, in my opinion. But needs one of these guys for a non-PPR. Talk to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it does come down to those two guys. And again, to me, the dividing line is LeGarrette Blount in this one. I actually think him and Marino are very close, but I think Foster is just a tick above them today, even though he's going against the Jets. I mean, look, the Jets are not the 85 Bears, guys. You know, Foster's going to have over 100 total yards, and I'd expect him to find the end zone today.
Ralph, which wide receiver do you value more for Week 11 non-PPR, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay or Anquan Boldin?
I want to go with Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. I already told you what I think about Boldin this week. Carolina can cover receivers. That's the one thing, the only thing that they do well. And I think that it's going to be Ray Rice all day with the Baltimore Ravens.
All right. Non-PPR needs one of these guys, Ross. Non-PPR needs one of these guys. AJ, who I'm still trying to figure out who is AJ.
Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson. Okay, my apologies. Andre Johnson, well, then this question becomes pretty moot. Andre Johnson, DeSean Jackson, Greg Jennings, or Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, who do you like?
He needs one of those guys?
Correct.
My God, what an arsenal. I'm going with Greg Jennings. I just think he's going to score at least one, maybe two touchdowns this week.
Okay. I think Andre Johnson's going to get his points today against the Jets. I think the Jets have a hard time covering premier wide receivers. But let's ask a Jets fan. Ralph needs one of these guys: Andre Johnson, DeSean Jackson, Greg Jennings, or Mike Williams from Tampa Bay.
Andre Johnson, DeSean Jackson. Who are the other guys?
Mike Williams from Tampa Bay or Greg Jennings, I believe.
Pick one?
Correct.
I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson. I think he is the best player out of all of these guys. He's the most explosive. And I think that, you know what, I've looked at that Giants secondary, and I see some things that worry me, and I think DeSean Jackson goes off again this week.
Yeah, I might go DeSean 1, Andre Johnson 2, but regardless, I think you got to find a way to get both of those players in the lineup this week, for real. All right, Ross, non-PPR flex needs one of these guys. I'm going to read them off to you. You let me know. It looks like the same question. I'm sorry. Non-PPR needs two of these guys. Ross, Randy Moss, C.V. Johnson, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Which one are you putting on your bench?
I'm sitting Stevie Johnson. I think Randy Moss, you know, Vince Young's going to pull out the bag of tricks from his Texas days when he just threw the ball up and let superior athletes come down with it. I think that's what's going to happen with Randy Moss today. And I'm never benching Mike Williams to Tampa Bay. This DUI thing is bogus. I think he's going to play with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, as he has. I think he's going over the century mark and scoring a touchdown. And much as I love Stevie Johnson, I can't rely on him to do that.
It's hard to argue with your logic, Ross. I actually agree with you. And you know what? It seems like when players get into trouble, they bounce back with a really big week. I think back to Braylon Edwards and his DUI. He had a big week that week and the game-winning touchdown. I think back to Kenny Britt in his barroom confrontation, and he was benched and he came back and had a 200-yard day. So if that trend continues, then Mike Williams is in line for a big-time fantasy football day. But we shall see. Ralph, John Kitna or Matt Ryan this week?
John Kitna or Matt Ryan? I'm going to go with John Kitna this week. Look, Matt Ryan is a great rising star, but I think they're going to run the ball a lot in Atlanta, and I think it's going to be a Michael Turner type of day, whereas John Kitna has found his new toy in Dez Bryant. He's going up against the Detroit Lions, who give up yards to everybody. I'm going to go with John Kitna.
All right. Next one, Ross, a little bit something different here. You need to sit one of these guys. Sit one of these guys. Sounds like this listener has been listening to the show because he's got a lot of players on his roster that we've been throwing out there. Sounds like a deep league, but he needs to sit one player and one player only. You tell me who it is. Javarius James, Mike Tolbert, Tolbert, whatever. Keelan Williams, Wes Welker, James Jones, and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. I'll say it one more time. Javarius James, Tolbert, Keelan Williams, Wes Welker, James Jones, Mike Williams from Tampa. Which one do you put on your bench, Ross?
I'm sitting Javarius James, man. I mean, I know the guy's had a couple of touchdowns, but I can't get too carried away with that. And to me, those other guys are more likely to score you some solid fantasy points. I'm not high on Javarius James at all.
Well, you right about that. All right. Ralph, paraphrasing Jerry Manuel, channeling my inner Daniel Romano. Non-PPR flex, Ralph, Jahdid Best, LeGarrette Blount, Randy Moss, Austin Colley. Just needs one of these guys, Jahdid Best, LeGarrette Blount, Randy Moss, or Austin Colley. Which one are you going to roll the dice with?
I want to roll the dice with Randy Moss. I think that he goes off. I don't see how the Washington Redskins stop him this week.
I agree 1,000%. Love me some Randy Moss this week. All right, Joe Flacco or Big Ben, Ross?
It's close. I'm going to go with Big Ben in this one, although Flacco scares me a little bit. I don't think there's going to be much between the two of them. But I'd go with Roethlisberger. I don't think Flacco's going to be putting the ball in the air too much. But, again, I got burned by thinking that when they played Buffalo, I thought they'd blow them out and Ray Rice would have a field day. But turned out Flacco threw for a hat trick of touchdowns. But, you know, maybe this will be a shame on me, but I'm going to go with Roethlisberger.
All right. And, you know, all these Andre Johnson doubters out there, you need to put that to rest because – you know, look in the past, whether it be Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson, or whatever other wide receiver the Jets couldn't cover, they have trouble, these big play wide receivers. Andre Johnson is going to get his, and this whole question about whether you should bench him in favor of Stevie Johnson, Lance Moore, or Santana Moss is just ridiculous. It's redunculous, and I'm not even going to address that. This other guy wants to know if he should play Donovan McNabb, Tim Hightower, or Sean Green for his flex. Anytime you can play a quarterback over those two bananas, of course you do. I don't care even if it's Donovan McNabb. Come on, use your noggin. Get some of that early holiday eggnog in you. Help you make a logical decision over here. All right, guys, we're just messing around, having fun. Got to always have some fun because that's what it's all about. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. See some people in the chat room wondering about how to find us on Thanksgiving morning. Go to blogtalkradio.com/allaccessfootball. That's with dashes, all-access-football. Unfortunately, that's just the way it's got to be. Of course, if it makes life easier, you can always just go directly to NFLDraftBible.com. We usually have it posted. You can get the link there, or you can just listen to the show from the website. We also have our radio player on NFLDraftBible.com. So, you know, worst case scenario, last resort, you can always go to NFLDraftBible.com to find us. But Thursday, Thanksgiving morning, like we've done for the past 3 years, 8 to 10, we're going to kick off the Turkey Day extravaganza. We're going to do it our own way on the All Access Football Radio channel. So make sure you check us out 8 to 10 on this Thursday morning, and then we will then resume our regular scheduled programming for week. This is week 11. Thursday will be week 12. So week 13 through 17, just in time for your fantasy football playoffs, will be on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 for the rest of the way. So after Thursday, after we get that out of the way, 8 to 10 the rest of the way on Sunday, let's make it happen. All right, guys. Whew. Going around the league. Got one more 1 o'clock game. Let's preview that matchup. We'll get some of these game previews, fantasy stud duds, and sweepers in. We'll come back to the chat room. Last 1 p.m. matchup of the day, Ralph, the good reverend, has been chomping at the bit to get it off his chest, and that's the one we've been talking about pretty much all morning. That's the Houston Texans, 4-5, traveling into Jersey to take on the Jets, who are 7-2, and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch Sanchez coming off his best game going against one of the worst pass defenses, Ralph.
Yeah, the stud here is Mark Sanchez. I mean, the kid has improved, but he's also been lucky in that he's had a number of interceptions dropped by clumsy defenders this year. But that won't matter this week because Sanchez is going up against the Texans, and every quarterback is a stud versus the Texans. Look, I mean, we all know how poorly cornerbacks Kareem Jackson and Glover Quinn are playing, and look for both Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes to score in this one. The dud here is Matt Schaub. He's getting poor protection from his line. He's dealing with a bursa sack issue in his knee. Plus, the Jets are allowing the third fewest passing yards to offenses over the past month. Any way you slice it, this is a bad spot for Mr. Schaub. I know that he did well versus Jacksonville last week, but the Jags have one of the worst secondaries and no pass rush. Plus, Schaub's number one target, Andre Johnson, will be shadowed by Darrelle Revis, which certainly doesn't help matters. And the sleeper here is Sean Green. The Jets' master plan all along has been to get Green more carries down the stretch. Last week, he had 20 totes. Look for that trend to continue, as LaDainian Tomlinson has only been running for about 55 yards per game over the past month. The Texans have never been the same versus the run since the loss of linebacker D'Amico Ryans, who is out for the season. I do love the New York Jets in this one, 31-17 over Houston.
All right, the good Reverend likes some big. I think the game might be a little bit closer than that, but we shall see. The Jets could get up early, and if that's the case, then the Texans may just fall flat on their face and let all the air deflate out of them. Okay, 4 p.m. matchups. Let's do it. Let's get right into it, Ross, because this headline kind of dominated the week of the NFL this past week, and that would be Mike Williams and his big DUI arrest. First he's playing, then he's not playing, then he is playing. Tampa Bay, anyway, is 6-3, really needs this victory to stay alive in the playoff hunt, and they travel into San Francisco, who's 3-6. What do you got for us here?
Yeah, for my money, Williams is going to play. The guy blew like a .06, which is below the legal limit, although he got arrested. I guess he was driving erratically. Obviously, he did not use good judgment, even if it wasn't legally getting drunk and driving. Not a good idea. I don't blame the team if they sit him down for a quarter or even, you know, maybe even a game. But, you know, this guy's got a track record of acting out, so not exactly what you want to hear. But on the field, he's done nothing wrong by me. And I think that you definitely use him again this week, but make sure he's going to play. The stud in this game, I mean, Frank Gore is going to go absolutely ballistic. Tampa Bay's run defense 31st in the league. Gore looked terrific last week. Look, the Bucs give up 4.8 yards per carry on the ground. That's insane. And I think Gore is going to feast on them today. I'm thinking 150 total yards and two touchdowns is not out of the realm of possibility for him. I think LeGarrette Blount is a decent play, but he's more a number two or flex play. And again, don't be afraid of using Mike Williams if he's in there. The dud for me in this game, I'm not high on Michael Crabtree in this one, guys. Don't get fooled by that 356 yards in the air that the Niners had last week. This is not going to happen against a team that is so poor against the run. San Francisco knows if they run the ball, they will gain yards and points and chew up that clock, and that's exactly what they're going to do. I'd be surprised if Troy Smith had that much over 200 yards this week. I don't think there's going to be enough to spread it around to Michael Crabtree. I would leave him on the bench. The sleeper in this one, the forgotten man took a lot of flack for calling his name last week, but he rewarded me by scoring a touchdown, and that's Kellen Winslow. He scored his first 6 catches for 65 yards.
Soldier boy. I guess
he's healthy, although that could change in about 15 minutes, but until it does, I like him. I think he provides Josh Freeman with a much-needed second option in the passing game to Mike Williams. I think he's a solid red zone option. I wouldn't be surprised if he scored again this week. I see Tampa Bay winning this game on the road, but I don't feel too comfortable about it. I'm going Tampa Bay 20, San Francisco 19.
Oh, an eager. Always
a lot of close
games. All right, let's do one more. Let's get it in, Ralph. The Seahawks 5-4 traveling to the Saints 6-3. Who would have thunk it that these teams have nearly identical records at this point in the season?
Yeah, kind of a shocker. Look, as far as studs go, I'm not going to tell you to start Marquise Colston again. That's a given. But why not give the Saints defense a try? I mean, this unit has shown positive signs since the return of Darren Sharper 4 weeks ago. In three games since his reappearance in the lineup, the Saints have surrendered a combined total of 29 points, and the fact that they'll be playing in the noisy Superdome will help versus a Seattle offense that ranks 30th in total yards per game. The dud here is Marshawn Lynch. I am raising the white flag on this guy until he shows me something. He did score last week, but he couldn't muster more than 29 yards rushing versus an Arizona team at home that just gives up yards to everybody, despite getting 13 carries. Maybe the return of Russell Okung to the offense helps, but I have to see it to believe it. I think Justin Forsett may be slowly cutting into Lynch's action more and more. The sleeper here is Reggie Bush. Now, keep an eye on his status, since he's technically a game-time decision. But if you have other options to go to, you know, just in case for insurance purposes, I think Bush is going to have a nice game, a nice little comeback here. I think he'll immediately become a huge part of the passing game, and Seattle is giving up an NFL worst 12.4 yards per reception to running backs. Look, Bush has been practicing for weeks now, and he should be raring to go. I love New Orleans in this game, 37-15.
Whew, okay, a laugher in Nolans, so the Reverend says. Let's go back over to some of our chat room questions quickly and get those in. Ross, PPR League needs three of these guys. Essentially, you're sitting one. Freddie Jackson, Tolbert, Noshon, or Shady McCoy. Which one are you putting on your bench? Freddie Jackson, Tolbert, Moreno, or Shady McCoy? Which one's sitting?
Wow, that's an interesting. You know what? Assuming that Mike Tolbert gets the nod to start for the Chargers, I'm sitting no Sean Marino in this one.
I agree with you.
I think Denver's going to be playing from behind. I'm not totally sold on him even after that good effort he had. Look, I think Marino's the purest of the bunch to not score and not eclipse 50 yards. I'll put it that way.
Hey, listen, Moreno is giving the state of New Jersey a bad name. I'll tell you that. Hey, Reverend, needs one of these guys, just needs one. Stevie Johnson, Lance Moore, Santana Moss, LeGarrette Blount, or your boy, Marshawn Lynch, just needs one of these guys. Stevie Johnson, Lance Moore, Santana Moss, LeGarrette Blount, or Marshawn Lynch. Which one are you rolling the dice with?
I think I'm going to go with Stevie Johnson out of this group. I mean, Lance Moore can certainly make some nice plays and going to have an opportunity to be productive here. I'm going to go with Stevie Johnson. I don't like that Cincinnati defense, and I think the Bills should be able to move the ball today.
All right. I don't think you can get hurt with Stevie Johnson. I like Stevie Johnson. I think LeGarrette Blount is also needs to be under consideration there. All right, non-PPR Ross. He has Peyton Hillis, Steven Jackson, and Jamar Charles. Obviously, this is a stacked lineup. But if you had to sit one of these guys between Peyton Hillis, Steven Jackson, and Jamar Charles, which one would you put on your bench?
I think I'd have to sit Steven Jackson, much as it would kill me. You know, I just think Jamar Charles is like a top three guy this week. And I agree with the same thing with Peyton Hillis. You know, those guys are both top five, and I have Steven Jackson ranked 13th, so to me, I got to sit Steven Jackson.
Okay, here's an old geezer question, Reverend. Brett Favre or John Kitna, which geezer are you going to go with?
This one is easy. John Kitna, hands down. Brett Favre is running around out there like he's 90 years old. It looks like he doesn't want to be in there, and I think that this team, this Minnesota team, is dead in the water.
Okay, non-PPR needs two, Ross. Malcolm Floyd, Nate Burleson, and Steve Breston needs two of those guys. Malcolm Floyd, Nate Burleson, and Steve Breston. Who do you like?
Well, I think you definitely have Malcolm Floyd in there, so it comes down to a choice between Breston and Nate Burleson. You know what? Steve Breston's done me right before. I think I'm going to go with him narrowly over Nate Burleson. I don't trust the quarterback there, but really, as long as Calvin Johnson's there, Sean Hill tries to throw him the ball as much as he can. And, you know, Breston has made do playing behind Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin. Now it's just Fitzgerald. But narrowly, I'm going with Breston as the second one.
Yeah, it really comes down to a coin flip on that one. How about some tight end talk, Reverend? Jason Witten versus Detroit or Zach Miller versus Pittsburgh? The logic here being Witten has to do a lot of blocking lately.
Yeah, I could see that. And, you know, Zach Miller has had a week to rest up, so I'm going to go with Zach Miller.
All right, there you go. Somewhat shocking. PPR, Ross Santana Moss or Stevie Breston? There he is, that man again.
Little Stevie getting a lot of airtime. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not high on Santana Moss at all. But I think I'm going with Stevie Johnson this one, much as it kind of pains me to say that, because I think Santana Moss could have a pretty decent game. But, look, I think Johnson has at least 75 yards and probably finds the end zone today in Cincinnati. And I'm not sure Santana Moss is going to find the end zone in Tennessee. I like Tennessee's defense better, so I'm going with Johnson.
Now, I had a couple more before we go over to the phone lines here. Matt Ryan or Sean Hill, Reverend?
I'm going to go with Sean Hill. I mean, look, the Falcons are not going to need to throw for 300 yards to win that game versus the Rams. They have Michael Turner. He is well-rested. They're going to ride their horse. That's what they want to do. They're a conservative team at heart. So I'm going to go with Sean Hill, who, I mean, if you look at this guy's stats, if you look at his games, go look at his game log. This guy puts up about 40, 45, even 50 passes each and every week. So he's not a great quarterback, but he throws the ball a lot. So as a result, he's going to get you a lot of yards. And he is going to throw for a couple of touchdowns this week as well.
Yeah, I don't know what San Francisco was thinking getting rid of this kid and keeping Alex Smith, but are you on board with this selection, Ross? Sean Hill over Matt Ryan?
Yeah, I kind of am. I think it's going to be close, and I think I am. I'm on board. That's all I'm going to say. 265 and two touchdowns for Hill, 240 and one touchdown for Matt Ryan.
All right, there you have it. Even throwing out some projections. All right, needs two of these guys, PPR League, Greg Jennings, Percy Harvin, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, and Deion Branch. I'm going to say this is a no-brainer. Jennings and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Do you guys agree or disagree?
Agree, wholeheartedly.
Yep. I'm with you.
All right. Okay, how about this one? Non-PPR two guys. Lance Moore, Jabbar Gaffney, Sidney Rice. Again, this one's easy. You sit Sidney Rice, no?
I agree. I don't like starting Sidney Rice today.
Look, Sidney Rice is only going to get 20 to 25 snaps today, if that.
If that. I would stay far away from Sidney Rice. All right, guys. One more before we go over to the phone lines. Miles Austin or Anquan Boldin, since you've been the Boldin hater. Let's start this one off with the Reverend.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not in love with Miles Austin either, but I'm going to go with Austin over Boldin this week. I think that game between Dallas and Detroit is going to be a shootout. I think that Miles Austin is going to join into the action. He's going to join in the fun, and he's also going to get some looks this week. So, yeah, why not? He's got a great matchup versus Detroit. I'm going to go with Austin.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show here, you there. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league. We will be airing Thursday from 8 to 10. Check us out on Blog Talk Radio, All Access Football. Go down, search for All Access Football. Come to our profile. We will be on from 8 to 10. 8 to 10 Turkey Day Extravaganza, kicking it off right here on All Access Football, so make sure you get on board with that. Weeks 13 through 17, we will come back to our usually programmed slot every Sunday from 8 to 10 for those playoffs down the stretch. All right, time to hit the phone lines. I'm going to go over to 704. You're on the line. What's on your mind?
I got two questions. PPR league, I have three to play, two running backs, Arian Foster, Tomlinson, and Bradshaw. And my wide receivers, I have Calvin Johnson, but I need two out of the other four. Michael Crabtree, Austin Crowley, James Jones, and Steven Johnson.
All right. I think I got you covered here, caller 704. Let's take them one at a time. First off, your running back dilemma, Arian Foster, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Ahmad Bradshaw. I'm going to go Foster and Bradshaw for my money just because those two guys have been playing like studs. I really like what LaDainian Tomlinson is doing, but I do think the Jets are going to, for once this season, maybe throw the ball a little bit more than they have in past games just because the Texans' defense is so brutal, their pass defense, that is. I think they're going to look to take advantage of that. I'm going to take a deep breath and pass it to the left. My good friend Ralph Mancini, Arian Foster, LaDainian Tomlinson, or Ahmad Bradshaw, pick two, please.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Foster and Bradshaw all the way. Tomlinson's carries have been going down. His yards have been going down. He's only been averaging 55 yards rushing over the past month. I'm going to go with the other two guys.
Okay, there you have it. Let's go. Let's delve into the wide receiver question now. You have Calvin Johnson. You have to play him. You need two out of these four guys, Michael Crabtree, Austin Collie, James Jones, and Stevie Johnson. Let's start it off with Ross Mandel.
Yeah, I like Stevie Johnson, and I like James Jones in that matchup, and I know I'll probably be the only one who does among us, but I'm not ready to throw Collie into the mix with all the Jacob Tammy and Garcon and Reggie Wayne they got going on in Indianapolis. I think he's going to get back into it slowly. I like Stevie Johnson today. And for my money, James Jones is going to be the number two guy in Green Bay, and that means there's going to be a lot of targets headed his way as long as he keeps putting up numbers and holds on to the football.
Interesting. I'm on board with Stevie Johnson. I'm not so sure about James Jones. Rev, for your money, who do you like? Crabtree, Collie, James Jones, and Stevie Johnson needs two.
Well, Stevie Johnson's a given. And then if I have to pick between Collie and Jones, I'm going to go with Austin Collie. I love the chemistry between Peyton Manning and Austin Collie. He has been practicing. I don't think he's going to be rusty. And that is going to be a high-scoring affair against the New England Patriots. I'm going to go with Collie here.
Yeah, caller, I think I have to agree with the Reverend here. I love Collie. I think Manning has a lot of trust in him. I think Stevie Johnson and Austin Collie are the way to go there.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Anytime, my friend 704, always good to have you.
Woo. All right. That's how you make a phone call, right there.
We got about a half hour left, fellas. Why don't we tackle some of the, you know, we got two more 4 o'clock games. Let's tackle the two 4 o'clock games, and we'll go back over to the chat room, and then we'll cover the prime time matchup. So let's start it off with Atlanta 7-2 traveling into St. Louis 4-5, and I got to say, Ross, this is a battle of two of the best young, talented, emerging quarterbacks in the league, I must say.
Agreed, agreed. Look, Michael Turner got shut down against the Ravens, but with a long rest and a game plan that's sure to include less throwing the ball, I expect Michael Turner to get back on track and back into the end zone. Look for 95, 100 yards and a score out of him today. Roddy White will not have 12 catches for 138 yards like he did last game, but he'll have about 8 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. I think those are obviously the two Falcons you want to throw in there. For the Rams, look, Steven Jackson looking good this week, you know, as far as the top end number two running back. He had his best fantasy football game last week, and with the lack of other weapons in St. Louis, I think he's going to get plenty of touches. So those are the three primary guys. We were talking about Tony Gonzalez before. To me, he's a dud in this game. There's going to be less passing in this game. He only had 4 catches for 38 yards in a Baltimore game and a huge passing effort from Matty Ryan. Look, watching him play, I mean, it's pretty evident he just lacks the explosiveness that he's had in the past. But you know what? It's not his fault. He's obviously a Hall of Famer, and everybody gets old at some point. I think for Gonzalez, it's happening before our eyes. I don't like him a whole lot in this game. The sleeper in this one, it's a Rams wide receiver, but it's not Danny Amendola. It's Brandon Gibson. Guy had 6 catches for 67 yards 2 weeks ago, 8 catches for 72 yards last week. Sam Bradford's starting to rely on him as a potential deep threat, and he could easily sneak behind that Atlanta pass defense for a big gainer in this one. I think if you're in a PPR, you stick with Amendola. But if you're not in a PPR, Gibson is a better bet for my money. I think the Rams put a scare into Atlanta, but I think Atlanta is good enough to win this game on the road. Atlanta 24, St. Louis 21.
Wow, the Falcons, that would be a rare road victory for those Atlanta Falcons. All right, last 4 p.m. game of the day, probably the best, Ralph. Battle of two of the best of all time. That's the Brady Manning Bowl, where you got the Colts 6-3 traveling to New England, and how about those Patriots red hot and 7-2?
Yeah, and the stud here is Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. The law firm is coming off a Herculean effort versus the mighty Steelers, in which he gained 123 total yards. This week he goes up versus a small Indy defense that has trouble defending off-tackle plays. Look for the Pats to run it often in order to slow down pass rushers Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis. Also, as I mentioned before, guard Logan Mankins is rounding into form after his recent comeback. Look for New England's running game to kick it into high gear over the next few weeks. The dud here is Pierre Garçon. Garçon has really underperformed during the absence of Austin Collie, with only 7 receptions for 52 yards and no touchdowns over the past 2 weeks. Plus, he's been dropping passes, which only makes Peyton Manning lose faith in him. Manning is a perfectionist, and Garçon is just not getting it done. Garçon may end up being the 4th or 5th option in this offense. The sleeper here, we've been talking about him all morning, and here he is, Austin Collie. While Garçon is barely catching 50% of his targets, Collie has been very shorthanded with an 82% reception percentage. The Colts desperately need somebody to play in that slot position. Austin Collie is going to step up this week and have a nice ball game. I like New England in this one, 33-31 over Indy.
Wow. Okay, you care to weigh in with the prediction there, Ross Giordano's?
I got the Pats winning the game, 38-31.
All right, there you have it. And unfortunately, I think New England's going to win as well, but we shall see. All right, guys, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. We've got the Giants and Eagles coming up and also the Broncos and Chargers. We will break it all down for you, but first, we're going to go back over to the chat room for the chat room peeps. And just a reminder, Thanksgiving morning, we will be Turkey Day Extravaganza from 8 to 10 a.m. Go to blogtalkradio.com, find us at All Access Football, or log on to NFLDraftBible.com. You can always find us there. While you're on the All Access Football profile page, this past Thursday we had a college football show. Wisconsin AD Barry Alvarez joined us. Very good interview. I highly recommend it. I suggest you check it out. All right. Let's get back into it. Over to the chat room, people. Kyle Orton or Peyton Manning, Ralph? Peyton Manning didn't deliver the goods last week.
Peyton Manning versus Orton. I'm going to go with Peyton Manning. He'll deliver the goods this week.
I like it. All right, Wes Welker or LeGarrette Blount for your flex position, Ross, PPR league?
PPR league, I'm still going with LeGarrette Blount. I just don't think Welker's doing enough on a consistent basis, and I know LeGarrette Blount is going to get touches.
All right, Ross, I'll stick with you because it's same player, LeGarrette Blount, Pierre Garçon, or Brandon Jacobs for one player.
LeGarrette Blount for sure for me. I echo a lot of what the Rev said about Pierre Garçon and that mix-up in Indy. And you know LeGarrette Blount is going to run for at least 70 yards and probably find the end zone. And I don't see Brandon Jacobs getting a lot of touches today. So for me, that's LeGarrette Blount for sure.
All right, good Reverend needs to sit one of these guys, Freddie Jackson, Tolbert, Moreno, McCoy. We already covered this. No Sean Moreno, put him on your bench. Ralph here. Floyd, Stevie Breston, or Pierre Garçon needs two of these guys, Greg Jennings, Malcolm Floyd, Stevie Johnson, and Pierre Garçon.
I'm going to go with Floyd and Jennings here.
Okay, I agree. Short, sweet, simple, and easy. All right, Mongols, welcome to the chat room. PPR needs one, Ross, Donald Brown, Thomas Jones, or your boy from San Diego, Sehi Arachitutu.
Oh, Tutu hook me up, but I can't go with him this week. Look, I think there's going to be enough against Arizona for Thomas Jones to find the end zone and maybe hit, you know, 50 yards rushing, 20 yards receiving, something like that. I just can't trust the Jira Tutu that much. So I'm going to go with Thomas Jones in this one.
Okay. Good Reverend wants to know, well, we need to know, Ace 28. Is that a long-lost cousin, Ross? needs a one-week wonder at tight end, a non-PPR league. Here's his choices. Aaron Hernandez, Ben Watson, Jermaine Gresham, or Kevin Boss, the big boss man. One more time. Aaron Hernandez, Ben Watson, Jermaine Gresham, or Kevin Boss. Who do you like, Reverend?
Wow, these are some really good choices here. You know what? I think, to me, it's between Gresham and Boss. I really love Gresham. I loved how he played last week. And the kid is tough, and he's getting better and better every week. But I don't like his quarterback, and we talked about him before. I'm going to go with Kevin Boss here just because, look, the Giants need an underneath option. And I think as a result, you know, with Steve Smith out of the lineup for the next few weeks, I think the Giants are going to be dumping the ball off a lot to Bradshaw and to Kevin Boss. You know, I mean, they're not going to be throwing the ball a lot to a guy like Duke Calhoun, who hasn't been with the team for a long time. And I know they have Derek Hagan back, but I think Kevin Boss sees a lot of targets this week. And, you know, with that Philly pass rush, you know, Eli Manning is not going to have time to go deep a lot. He's going to have to dump the ball off, and Moss is going to be one of his favorite receivers. I'm going to go with Kevin Boss this week.
Yeah, and let's not forget Travis Beckham in the mix there with G-Men as well. Ross, you care to weigh in on this one? Aaron Hernandez, Ben Watson, Jermaine Gresham, or Kevin Boss? Which one's going to strike your gold for week 11?
Yeah, I'm pretty much along the lines of Reverend here. I like Boss a lot this week, but I think Gresham is the one that's going to find the end zone here, so I'm going to go with him just by a little bit. But I think both guys are eminently startable. I don't think the other ones are.
All right. Going through the chat room. A lot of chat room love today. Definitely appreciate all the chat room people. Seeing some new faces in there as well. Remember, guys, Thursday, Thanksgiving morning, we'll be on 8 to 10. Make sure you check us out. Chicago Bears Chairs wants to know, does he hold on to Chris Cooley, Ross, or should he drop him for Brandon Pettigrew of the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, I saw this earlier in the chat room. I don't know that you can drop Chris Cooley for Brandon Pettigrew. I mean, I don't know what your roster looks like, but if you have someone else to drop, you might want to do that or trade Cooley and then pick up Pettigrew, whatever you can. But I know Cooley's a bit dinged up, but he really is becoming and has been one of McNabb's favorite options there. So I don't know, man. I mean, I like Pettigrew a lot, but I don't know that I'm willing to drop Chris Cooley for him just now.
All right, at first glance, this might be a joke, but, you know, if you tend to think about it, this is actually an interesting and tough question, Ralph. LeSean McCoy or Danny Woodhead this week in a non-PPR?
Wow, that's a good question. You know something, you know, as much as I like little Danny and as much as I think that he is going to be a factor this week, I can't sit LeSean McCoy. I mean, in that offense – that just goes at like 1,000 miles an hour. I think Philly is going to jump out to a lead there, and they are going to run the ball. And I think McCoy, I think DeSean Jackson all have nice games this week. I know the Giants are not easy to run against, but McCoy does catch the ball as well. So in PPR leagues, McCoy will do just fine. I think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has the better game there in comparison to little man Woodhead there. So I'm gonna go with McCoy here. I'm gonna go with my stud.
Yeah, you know, it makes you scratch your head. I love the little big man as well, but again, like the Reverend said, you know, let's not get too cute and fancy and bench a guy like LeSean McCoy for Danny Woodhead. Although, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that it's the right thing to do. It wouldn't surprise me if Woodhead outscores McCoy. I'm just not going to get burnt for being stupid. All right, Jack Strap, since we love you, you know, you're always a regular. Yes, we covered Santana Moss and Stevie Breston. the good roster diamonds went with Stevie Breston over Santana Moss. I let the good Reverend weigh in on that one.
What was the question again?
Stevie Breston or Santana Moss?
I took Breston over Burleson.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go with Stevie Breston. Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, if I had to choose, I would go with Breston over Santana Moss. To me, Santana Moss is not a reliable guy. I don't like that Washington team. And as far as the Cardinals go, I don't like Derek Anderson that much either. But I think, you know, what really helps Breston is the fact that Fitzgerald gets so much attention. Anderson is going to look to Breston underneath. And this week, Breston is also going to return kicks. So if you're in one of those leagues that counts that yardage that you get on special teams, I think Stevie Breston can really help you out.
And are you on board with Breston over Moss as well, Ross?
No, I think Santana Moss is going to have a better game than Steve Breston, but I don't think it's going to be by that much. I think you're really splitting hairs when you have the two of them, even though Moss comes in with a much bigger name and reputation. I like the Redskins to throw the ball an awful lot today, but, you know, with Donovan McNabb throwing it, I don't know that really matters. All he can seem to do is throw the deep ball with any effectiveness, and maybe Moss shakes loose for a deep score in this game, and I just have a hard time trusting Derek Anderson in a situation where it's a coin flip.
All right, go Bronx. You want to know Reggie Bush, Tolbert, Mike Williams from Tampa, Amendola, Randy Moss, Steve Breston, Malcolm Floyd, Nate Burleson. You said you need three of these guys and you get 1 point for 25 yards kick return. And as much as they just touted Stevie Breston, I'm going to have to tell you, Tolbert, Randy Moss, and Mike Williams are three must plays. I don't care if Stevie Breston returns kicks. You got to go Tolbert, Mike Williams, and Randy Moss in that equation. Yes, we will be here from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, Thursday morning, Thanksgiving extravaganza. Log on to blogtalkradio.com, All Access Football, or go to NFLDraftBible.com. We will post the link there. You should check out NFLDraftBible.com anyway, regardless. And a little bonus for our subscribers, our All Access Football subscribers. We're going to hit you with a new and improved, the latest and the greatest, 2011 NFL Draft Bible Big Board Edition. Should be in your inbox in time for Thanksgiving, so check that out if you're an All Access Football subscriber. If you're not, you can get all that info on the NFLDraftBible.com as well. All right, let's talk a little bit primetime football. And Ross, your New York Giants, 6-3, were the talk of the town last week until the Philadelphia Eagles, who are also 6-3, introduced us to the Mike Vick Show. Break it down for us, baby.
Yeah, I mean, you could sum up this fantasy game with two words: use everyone. I mean, this game has the potential to absolutely break the scoreboard. Look, the Eagles are going to have a harder time than they did against those lay-down Redskins in this one. But look, you know, Vic Jackson, Macklin, you know, Manningham, Nix, Bradshaw, Eli, everybody's got to be in there. I know DeSean Jackson doesn't usually go off at home, but I'm not ready to write that down as a trend. I think he has a tremendous game in this one. For my money, the only dud in this game is Brent Celek. Look, Philly scored 500 points last week, and Celek only had two catches for 8 yards. He's essentially useless as long as Michael Vick is playing quarterback. I'd easily start Kevin Boss over him. The other dud in this game for my money is Brandon Jacobs. I just think with Philly's offense, there's not going to be a lot of room for Brandon Jacobs to be in there. He's what I like to call a front-running runner. He only does well when the game is very close or his team is ahead. If the Giants fall behind at all, he will not see the field for my money. Look, for me, there's a couple sleepers here. I mentioned one earlier. I'll get to him in a second. But you could do a lot worse than the third receiver of the Philadelphia Eagles if you need a third receiver, and that's Jason Avant. 5 catches for 76 yards and a touchdown last week. Vic, trust him. The guy was holding on to everything last week. I think he's a decent play if you need a number three receiver. And, Taz has been talking him up in the chat room, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. I think Kevin Boss has a bust-out game today. I think Eli's going to be looking for him. The absence of Steve Smith creates a void in there. And don't just assume that Mario Manningham is going to get all those targets. I think Kevin Boss gets quite a few of them today, and I think he does well with them. I'm not sure if he finds the end zone, but if you're in a PPR league and you need a tight end, you could do a whole lot worse than Kevin Boss. I'd like to say that the Giants rebound and win this game on the road, but it is not going to happen. I think Philadelphia wins this game 34-27.
Wow, and that's coming from a Giants fan.
Woo! Good game, though.
Rev, you
that's
care
a good score.
Lay it on a prediction?
Yeah, I'm on board with Ross here. I think Philly wins this one. They put up points in this one. I think the Giants will be competitive, though. But I see the Eagles winning this game by a score of maybe like 31-24 or something like that.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to go against the grain here, and I think the Giants always play to the level of their opponent. And, you know, usually you associate a trap game when a good team is playing a crap team. These teams have the same records, but everybody seems to think it's a foregone conclusion. Mike Vick is hot. The Eagles are rolling. The Giants are coming off a sloppy loss. I'm going to look for the exact opposite. I think the Giants' defense finds a way to shut down Mike Vick, and I think the Giants pull this one off on the road, but that's just me. What do I know? All right, little Monday Night Football action. You got the Denver Broncos 3-6 traveling into San Diego, who's 4-5. And, you know, we talked about it before, Phillip Rivers and Kyle Orton, I believe they're 1-2 in passing yardage in the league. This is going to be a showdown, a throwdown. Hey, go ahead, take it away, Rev.
Yeah, the stud here is Mike Tolbert. Ryan Matthews is out with a bad ankle, and Tolbert is just about as consistent as they come when he gets his carries. Prior to a subpar outing in Week 9, Tolbert scored in 5 consecutive games. Also, Denver leads the league in rushing touchdowns allowed with 14. The dud here is Antonio Gates. It doesn't look like Gates will suit up. His feet haven't healed up, and he missed practice on Saturday. Go get Randy McMichael if you do have Antonio Gates to insure yourself. The other dud here is Eddie Royal. He hasn't surpassed 40 yards since Week 4. Sleeper here is Jabbar Gaffney. He's coming off a so-so performance versus Kansas City with 51 yards, but he did manage to score in that ballgame. The Broncos should have to throw it a ton to keep pace with the Lightning Bolts. And Gaffney, he's a smart and physical receiver that can get open versus a variety of coverages. Plus, he's averaging over 8 targets per game. I like San Diego in this one. Denver will keep it close, but San Diego runs away with this one, 30-27.
All right, that wraps it up for our game previews. There you have it, stud duds and sleepers all around the league. If you missed any, you can go back. Our archives become available immediately, about 15 minutes after this show ends. If you want to go back and listen to anything you might have missed, by around 10:15 or so, you can go to our profile page and access this show. Just like Thursday, if you miss our Thursday morning show, 8 to 10, Turkey Day Extravaganza. 2-hour special this Thursday, Eastern Time. You can check us out on blogtalkradio.com, All Access Football, or go to NFLDraftBible.com for the latest link that you need to know. All right, guys, we're going to answer the people's questions for the rest of the way, and we're going to go right into Ryan Terrain. Ross, do you drop him at this point? Is he just a fantasy football headache? Clinton Portis comes back, Keelan Williams in the mix. Is it officially safe to drop Ryan Terrain and not think twice about it?
Well, a Mike Shanahan team with running back questions? Unbelievable. Look, you know, I'm not buying into the Clinton Portis return. You know, that groin injury remains to be seen. But Keelan Williams looked pretty good. James Davis in the mix. It depends who you're going to drop Terrain for. But if it's somebody with, you know, upside, I think you could drop Ryan Terrain. I don't think that's crazy. But you got to let me know who you're dropping him for.
Yeah, I have no problem. Yeah, go ahead, Rev.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, you drop Terrain and don't even think about it. I mean, even when this guy's healthy, he's hurt. You know, even when he plays, you see him on the sideline with ice around his knees, ice around his hamstring. You know what? I mean, this guy's just not built to play big-time football. He's got a lot of talent, but he's a little too fragile. You can't count on the guy. You're going into the playoffs. You need guys that you can count on. And this guy is totally unreliable. And as Ross said, James Davis is waiting out there on the practice squad. I think before the season is through, I think he's going to get an opportunity to get some carries.
Yeah, and you know, I gotta say his college resume has followed him into the pros. This guy Terrain going back to Arizona State was hurt every single year. Mike Shanahan thought he might have discovered the next Terrell Davis. He didn't. Time to part ways. Need two of these guys. No Sean Moreno, Cedric Benson, and Tolbert, Ralph.
No Sean Moreno, Cedric Benson, or Tolbert. Look, you have to check those pregame shows just to make sure that Cedric Benson is in the lineup. If he is, you go with Cedric Benson and you go with Tolbert.
All right. Based on your comments earlier, I think it's safe to assume that both of you like Freddie Jackson over Brandon Jacobs this week.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay. How about this one, Ross? Ocho Cinco or Randy Moss?
You know, I love Ocho, but he's a little dinged up, and I think we all agree that we love Moss's matchup today. I'm going to go with Randy Moss. I know how to pick Randy Moss. I told you to bench him a couple weeks ago. This is a week you use him.
There you go. I agree. All right, IDP question, Ralph. Mario Hagan or DJ Williams in a tackle-heavy IDP league?
Well, let's see. You know what? I'm going to go with Hagan here just because he's been hot lately. I know that he had the 3-sack game, and the kid is getting a lot of tackles each and every week. He's been getting anywhere between 6 to 8 tackles a week if you check his game log. I think Hagan's a guy who's on the rise. I'm going to go with Hagan here.
All right, needs one for their flex. He's already starting Hakeem Nicks, Ross. Wants to know out of these four guys, which one should he pair him with? Mario Manningham, James Jones, Willis McGahee, or Beanie Wells?
Well, sometimes I like to avoid using wide receiver pairings, so that would make me rule Manningham out normally, but not today. I think he's going to get at least 10 targets today, and he'll make good on 7 of them. To me, that gives him 80 yards. He'll probably find the end zone. So, I mean, I like James Jones. I think Manningham Jones put up similar numbers. But something about just having both receivers on the Giants today, I think, makes for a decent prospect.
Okay, non-PPR, Ralph. Ahmad Bradshaw, LeGarrette Blount, Keelan Williams. Call me crazy, but I think the obvious assumption here is Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yes, absolutely. Ahmad Bradshaw all day.
All right, one more question, guys. I'm going to throw it out there to the floor. Defensive question. Who do you like more this week? New York Giants defense, Philadelphia Eagles defense, they're playing each other, or the Tampa Bay defense, who is playing, I think, a rather easy matchup? San Francisco.
Right. Ish. I think both of those are – all three of those are decent plays, but I don't think any of them are great plays. You know, I'm going to go with the Eagles because I could see them busting a special teams touchdown today. But if you're heavily points allowed, if your league depends heavily on points allowed, I think I'd go with Tampa Bay. But other than that, I'd go with the Eagles, then the Giants, then Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you know what? I like Philly also, but I really don't like any one of these three defenses. If a team like Cleveland is available, I would pick them up and start them this week. But if I had to choose between those three teams, I'd go to Philly also.
Go get Kansas City.
Not me. I'd go Tampa Bay all the way with Troy Smith in there at quarterback. San Francisco's offense, you don't know what you're going to get from one week to the other. I think the Giants and Eagles are going to both score close to 30 points. So I'm going to have to go with Tampa Bay and disagree with you there. I want to apologize to the chat room people because you know what? I'm having this technical glitch, and the chat room froze on me about 5 minutes ago, so any other questions, I apologize we didn't get them into the show. If you want, you could actually reach Ross, Ralph, and myself. If you want to drop us a line today before kickoff and get one of our responses, or maybe all of our responses, email it to us. The email is media@nfldraftbible.com. So if you have a question, you want us to answer it, we didn't get it in today, send us an email over at media@nfldraftbible.com. media@nfldraftbible.com. Either one or all of us will answer your questions. And that goes for during the week, too. Feel free to drop us a line. We'll help you out. That's what we do here on the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Now, this Thursday, 4 days from now, make sure you're locked in and loaded right here, All Access Football, for our Turkey Day extravaganza. We're going to go from 8 to 10.
Uh-oh.
All right, guys.
The champ is taking a body punch.
Yeah, I'm under the weather here. I made it through the whole show without having a coughing attack. Got through it. I'm going to be okay. Hopefully you'll be okay for this Week 11 holiday. Make it happen. Tune in Thursday, 8 to 10. You know where to find us, NFLDraftBible.com. For Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, enjoy the Week 11 holiday. We'll talk Week 12 on Thursday.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!